Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Em, and today I'm chatting with Chriselle Lim.
Because for me, it's always been about storytelling, even with my early stages of my YouTube days. It was always about storytelling, about telling about a moment in time that was really exciting or really sad to move people, to change people in a way.
Chriselle is one of the OG content creators in the space with a following over 5 million across her channels, an entrepreneur known as your rich mom on TikTok, and founder of fine fragrance brand Fleur. Chriselle knows a thing or two about going viral on TikTok, so needless to say, we are picking her brain on all things content creation, TikTok, and tips for growth, as she really is a pioneer in this space. Lastly, this mom of two is getting super real with us about co-parenting, being a single mom, and how as women, we all need to let go of the judgment a bit and stick together when it comes to how we raise our kids and run our businesses. Refreshing and just so real. I loved this episode. So let's get right into the chat with Chriselle. Chriselle, hi. Welcome to the Big Move Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and chat with you and just catch up.
Me too. I'm so excited to have you. I got the pleasure of seeing you in London recently, so it was nice to meet you in person, but I'm really excited to dig in more with you and hear a bit more about your background and share with our audiences. So for those that might not already know you from social media, can you just give us like a little background on who you are and what you're all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So I got started on social media before the word influencer existed. I was probably, they called me kind of like the OG blogger when bloggers were just happening. So the whole fashion blog world was just starting. I started on YouTube. I was in college. I was creating content just for fun. No one was really making a career move out of it. It was just a creative outlet. And that's how it all really began for me about 15 years ago. And obviously, little did I know, I was on the forefront of this massive industry that was about to explode, which is digital media, social media, and have had the honor to be able to work with some of the most incredible brands, build my own brand, just work on some really incredible projects, and really live kind of like this dream life that I've always dreamt of as I was a little girl in college. And so, and I'm also a mom of two, and it's just busy, busy, busy every single day. So that's a brief kind of background of what I do. I'm a content creator at heart. I have been for many years now. That's how I started, but I'm an entrepreneur. I have two or three different companies. And I just spend most of my days just, you know, figuring it out as I go.
Yeah, I love it. A busy bee, definitely. And certainly one of the OGs. We're going to get into all of the, like, especially the digital media and content tips for you. But I guess just to like set the stage on this podcast, I love to hone in on our guests' big moves, those like big life transitions, those risks that we take, things that kind of like shape our story. Is there one that comes to mind for you that you want to sort of share with us today?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few marks in my lifetime that I clearly remember having to make that kind of fork in the road decision. So I'm going to give you two, I guess, examples. But one of them was probably 2 years into creating content while I was in college. And I got my very first paycheck from a brand. It was at the time was a pretty sizable paycheck for me. I think it was like $5,000, which was really, really exciting because that's pretty much what I made in like 3 months at the time as a broke college student. And so I remember thinking, okay, I feel so overwhelmed right now with this paycheck. Do I actually go hire somebody to help me? Or do I, you know, just keep doing it on my own. And I remember specifically investing that money back into my business as young as I was in college. And it was super scary because I just, first of all, I didn't know where to look. I didn't know where to go to find this person. But that was probably one of the biggest moves that I made in my career. And then also I got my second paycheck and I was like, okay, this is a really good amount that I never made in my life. Do I go buy some outfits for some cute photos, or do I actually go get an office? Because at that point we had about four people on the team, and we were all kind of figuring out how to make it work. And obviously I went to go use that paycheck to get an office space. That was probably 3 years into my career. So I was probably like 23 years old, 24 years old, I think. So it was big moves back then. It was scary. I did not know if I would see that money back. I don't know if this was a career that was going to actually happen. But obviously all those investments back into the business definitely paid off at the end.
Totally. And just to back up slightly, like, how did you get into content creation, or like, what were you doing just before?
Yeah. So I was in college, as I mentioned. And at the time, I met a friend who happened to, so I'm divorced. So my ex-husband's best friend, he was dating this girl at the time. And we just went on like this double date, and it happened to be OG YouTuber Michelle Phan, who was yes. probably one of the very first beauty gurus on YouTube. And I was like, what do you do? And she told me she is a makeup artist. And I asked her, at what counter? And she's like, oh, not at a counter. I actually am a makeup artist on YouTube. And I was so confused. I was like, what is that? Please explain how you do makeup on YouTube. And she showed me all of her videos. And she said to me, in fact, there's no one really doing fashion on YouTube. And this was, again, about 15 years ago, or maybe even more. And I was like, huh, that sounds interesting. So I looked into it, and I uploaded my first video that week, and the rest is history. So that's kind of how I first discovered the world of content creation and how I actually got started.
Okay, cool. I got it. And so that leads me to my next question of like, which platforms did you sort of capitalize on early on? Obviously, YouTube was one of them. Did you also have your blog and your website? Was that something that you were like constantly updating? And like, what was that kind of evolution like? I know it's a loaded question because we're talking many, many years back to now in 2022, and everything has sort of exploded, especially for video and TikTok, which we'll get into. But yeah, what's that kind of been like?
Yeah, well, I mean, at the time, there were only two really big players, which was YouTube and the blog space. So Instagram didn't even exist back then. And so I decided, so I was on YouTube first, and I realized, and since I was the only person, I didn't have anyone to help me. I was filming the videos, I was editing the videos, I was styling the videos. So there was only so much time in the day and only so many videos I could create. So I thought, why don't I start this blog? Because it's a lot easier in a sense where I could just take photos and upload them right away, because my followers on YouTube, they were growing very, very quickly and they kept wanting more. It's like feeding the beast, right? The more you give them, the more they want. And so I just couldn't upkeep with the demand. And that's when I launched the Crystal Factor. And at the time I was only able to upload one video a week. And then on the blog, I would upload around three times a week. And then obviously as the team members grew, I was able to expand further. And we had two to three people that were just working on YouTube. So we were banging out two to three videos a week. And then on the blog side, we had about three people on that side as well. And we're doing blogs every single day for about, I would say, 8 years. And that was just a well-fueled, oiled machine. And we were just go, 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 go. And obviously things have changed significantly since then. But then also Instagram came into the mix. So then we were like, okay, at first it obviously was very organic. You're just uploading photos of like, I don't know, the coffee you're drinking in the morning with like the bokeh filter in the background. And it was just like really easy and simple. But then obviously it became more demanding and more outfits. And then obviously TikTok came about. And so because I'm on all platforms, we just had to hire very specifically. Because as you know, every platform wants something different. And you know, I'm not active on YouTube anymore, though we are planning to bring it back. But I am not active on YouTube anymore. The blog is not updated either. So right now we're just really focusing on Instagram, as far as social, Instagram and TikTok.
Okay, got it. And then in terms of like your growth as a content creator, has that been slow and steady for you, as you said, over those many years with your different teammates? Or were there a few moments where it was like, boom, viral, like overnight type of growth? Like, what was that sort of like?
You know, what's interesting is that I think every platform kind of operates in a very similar way. And I'm not saying that the algorithm is similar. I'm just saying that all platforms in the beginning, the growth is easy. And I'm not saying easy as in like anyone can do it, but if you put your mind to it and you have a strategy and you really put time and focus into it, then you can grow. It's almost like that formula. Like, you know, that where you put your time and your focus on, you can naturally grow it organically. I think that was for Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. But what happened is that the platforms naturally get busier and more crowded and more saturated. And with that said, the natural progression of growth just slows down. And it has nothing to really do with Instagram or maybe Instagram, but like TikTok changing their algorithm. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's a much more crowded space now. And so for your videos or your photos to get seen is a lot harder for that reason. And so I think a lot of people get frustrated, like, oh, it's not what it used to be. And I'm definitely guilty of this, because I say that about Instagram. I say that about TikTok, but that's just the natural evolution of social media, right? Yeah. And so that's why it's so important to be open to different platforms at an early stage and be an early adopter. And that's something that I've been pretty good at for all platforms, especially with TikTok. So
You're speaking my language, because I can totally relate. I didn't start out as early on as you, but with Instagram back in like 2015, 2016, I was in New York, and that's when I started my blog and Instagram. We saw that growth initially a lot faster, I think. And I just think your explanation is perfect. It slows down. And I think now we've been seeing it over the past year or two with Reels. You maybe saw some really fast growth and engagement and followers coming in when you were first on it. And now it's, you know, your whole feed is really Instagram Reels.
Exactly. So you just have to kind of play the game, I guess. That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, absolutely. So shifting gears a little bit, tell us about Fleur. When did this business come about? What is it? What led to this moment for you?
So Fleur is my baby. I'm so, so proud of what we've been able to build with Fleur. Fleur is a fine fragrance company. And I acquired Fleur with my business partner, Ben Bennett, about a year ago, and we've just been working on it nonstop. And it's something that I was very surprised about, because I don't consider myself as a fragrance girl. I consider myself as a fashion girl. And I think a lot of people do so too, but I wear fragrance every single day. But when Ben approached me about this opportunity, Fleur, first of all, was an existing brand before, a beautiful fine fragrance company. He told me, he was like, okay, Fleur is coming to its second iteration of its journey, the second chapter of its life, very similar to you, because this was all happening right after I got my divorce and I was just figuring out kind of what I wanted to do, where I was going. Like, I was pretty lost, to say the least. I was just like figuring it out. And he said, I think this could be a really beautiful partnership, because you're also coming to the second chapter of your life. And there's so much symbolic meaning for you to create something with me and with Fleur. And so I was on board. I was already familiar with Fleur. It's a beautiful brand. The challenge was, how do we create fragrances that people have never smelled before and sell them online? And that was the challenge, right? But I love a good challenge. So I said, okay, first of all, we need to work with my favorite perfumers, my favorite fine fragrance perfumers in the world. So Jerome Epinette, who was the nose behind a lot of the Byredo scents, Frank Vogel, who created Santal from Le Labo. These were the big guys that I just like love their work. And I was like, okay, we're going to go after these guys. Like, I really want to create and develop something with them. And we were so fortunate enough to work with the best of the best. So they are two of the fragrance, the perfumers that we worked with to create some of the fragrances. And it was just a collaborative effort with them, being able to hear and understand these stories that I wanted to create around these fragrances. Because for me, it's always been about storytelling. Even with my early stages of my YouTube days, it was always about storytelling, about telling about a moment in time that was really exciting or really sad to move people, to change people in a way. And so I knew that if I was going to join Fleur, that I was going to tell stories through each fragrance. So the very first fragrance that we launched with is called Missing Person. And Missing Person went completely viral on TikTok. I always say you can never, ever plan for virality. As much as every brand wants to go viral, mm-hmm. you just can't plan for it, right? And we definitely did not plan for it, hence the lack of inventory for months after we sold out. But Missing Person was inspired by my heartbreak. It was inspired by my divorce. The number one thing that I struggled so much with after going through my divorce was waking up to an empty bed. I was with my partner at the time for about 15 years, married for 8 years, but total for a good chunk of my life, right? And waking up to an empty bed, I felt like this void. I felt like mm-hmm. there's something missing, not necessarily saying that I was missing that specific person, but that feeling, the warmth of someone's skin. And so the first fragrance, I wanted to capture something where you sprayed it. It felt like skin. It smelled like skin. It smelled like mm-hmm. someone's skin on your body. That was actually the very first fragrance that I knew I had to create in order to launch Fleur, because that was just where I'm at, where I was at in my life. And so it's a skin musk. The top note is a skin musk, a very clean musk. And what happened on TikTok was people would spray Missing Person and they would just describe it in the most beautiful way. They would say, oh my God, it smells like skin. Actually, it smells like my mom's skin who recently passed away and I miss her so much. And like mm-hmm. they would just start crying on their videos and it became almost therapy for people, like a reason for people to spray and record a video where they're sharing a moment in time or spraying it and talking about this amazing date that they went on, but that person is no longer in their life and how they're mm-hmm. like lingering for that moment again. And so we call it therapy in a bottle because it gave people an ability to miss something or somebody. And that's how it really went viral. And it was, people called it the smell of love, the smell of someone's skin. Mm-hmm. And Michaela, who is one of the most influential TikTokers, we didn't even gift her. She heard about Fleur, Missing mm-hmm. Person, and bought it herself. Mm-hmm. And she sprayed it and she said these lines. She said, if this is not love, I don't know what love is. And then she was just freaking out. And that from that moment on, that video, we sold out of all of our inventory, 3 years of inventory in a few minutes. And it was kind of a frenzy at that point. Mm-hmm. But we got very, very lucky in that sense. It was our very first fragrance. And every other fragrance that launched after that kind of had that FOMO effect of people mm-hmm. thinking that it's going to sell out again. So every fragrance kept selling out after that. And so we just feel very, very lucky that my personal story resonated so much with mm-hmm. so many people around the world. If you go into TikTok and type in the search Missing Person, you're going to see thousands and thousands and thousands of videos of people just talking about who they miss. So yeah, that's how it all happened.
It's such a fascinating and like incredible story, I think. And right, it's like, you think about fragrance and to share it in a video, it's so much harder, right? It's not skincare. It's not makeup. You can't, you know, show it in that way. But for you guys, it was all about storytelling and like evoking that emotion out of people, I think, and like the relatability to your story. It makes so much sense, but it must have been like a whirlwind.
Absolutely. And it's never been done before, because traditionally in fragrance, what happens is that you see an ad campaign or you see a video or you see a celebrity talking about it. Then you go to the counter, then you smell it. And if you like it, then you buy it, right? Whether it be online or in person or whatever mm-hmm. it is. These are brand new scents that no one's ever smelled before. And now we are at Sephora, and obviously we are in Selfridges, or I don't know when this podcast is uploading, but we will be in Selfridges by early September. Mm-hmm. But when we first launched, we were just D2C. We were direct to consumer. The only place that you could get our fragrances were from our website. And so no one's ever smelled these fragrances before. So we were completely unsure if this strategy would actually work. But it also shows you that strong storytelling really can move people, and they don't really need to smell it for them to want it. You could sell them on just beautiful stories that emotionally move them.
Yeah, absolutely. So to talk about TikTok a little more, I need to ask about your rich mom persona, which I'm obsessed with, by the way. Is she still around? And like, how did she come to life on TikTok?
You know, what's funny is that I wish Rich Mom was still around, because I miss her a lot. And I talk about her in a third party because it was parody. It wasn't me personally. It was acting, right? Mm-hmm. And Rich Mom came about early on, actually right before the pandemic. So I downloaded TikTok, and I was at Fashion Week, and obviously a lot of these kids on TikTok had no idea who I was. I'm a lot older than them. But Parasite, the movie, the Korean movie that won all the awards, was happening during that time. And it was like the talk of the town. And these kids saw my TikTok video, and they were like, oh my God, it's the rich mom from Parasite, right? So I just kind of played along with it. I thought it was so funny. A lot mm-hmm. of these kids thought I was the rich mom from the Parasite movie. And so I would make these funny videos. I'd be like, hey guys, hey kids, it's me, your rich mom. And that just became a thing. And these kids would ask me the most ridiculous questions, like, mom, I don't have any money to buy a laptop. Can you please wire me some money? So I would make a video responding to that in like my rich mom persona. I would like put on this like obnoxious outfit with tons of jewels and just kind of give them life lessons. So as much as Rich Mom was very fabulous and lived this kind of this life that all these kids admire, but she was also very shameless, but also gave very good life advice. And so a lot of these kids would be like, they would come to me for advice, asking me for boy advice or career advice, mm-hmm. but I would obviously do it in kind of a Rich Mom tonality. Yeah. And we tried to bring her back. And to be quite honest, I stopped Rich Mom because I was going through my divorce at the time. And I, you know, you have the thing about TikTok is that to create amazing videos, you have to mentally be in a really good place, because especially if you're trying to act funny or humorous, you can't mm-hmm. fake that. It's so hard to, maybe you can if you're a great actor, but I'm not a great actor at all. And I just could not even put a smile on my face at the time. So mm-hmm. I decided to stop it. And then after I missed Rich Mom, I decided to bring her back. But I think it was really a pandemic thing. Yeah. Rich Mom really took off during the pandemic. The kids were like obsessed with her. But I think now that we've kind of come out into this new, you know, this new world of post-COVID life, mm-hmm. I think she's less important to people. People do still talk about her. People do still miss sure. her, but it's not the same as it yeah. used to be. So
makes yeah. sense. I love that you keep saying the kids, because I too I'm in my mid 30s and like, you know, we're trying on TikTok over here, but you know, they're the kids. I love it. And right, I'm sure it fulfilled like such a purpose for them during that like pandemic period when they really needed it. So
yeah. And I love that there's so much newness on TikTok. I love that it's the next generation. I think this, you know, if you look at all the content that is being created by these Gen Z kids, it's mm-hmm. pretty incredible, because photography, of course, you have to have an eye for it, but like to create an engaging video from front to end, like that's talent, right? And mm-hmm. you're seeing that this younger generation is really using that talent to, and I always tell this to my personal kids who are 7 and 3, obviously 3 years mm-hmm. way too young. So none of them are on social, by the way, quite yet. But for my oldest daughter, I always tell her, because I love her watching me record videos. I love her watching me edit. I like her watching me create content, because I want her to know that it takes work. And I want her to understand that mm-hmm. it's much easier to be a consumer. And it's actually, I'd rather have her be a creator than a consumer, because when you're, especially at a young age, kids just consume, right? And they don't even know that what they're being served, like an ad or whatnot. But, you know, my daughter, she does ask a lot of questions like, oh, so what are you making this video for? Like, what's the theme? And I like walking her through that, because I want her to understand kind of the process of it. And I think it's healthy for this generation to understand how to create versus just consuming all the time.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. And leads me to my next question of like, what are your content creation tips? Like, it's obviously a very noisy and saturated market and industry. So for anyone building a digital presence, like in general, do you have like any like few tips that you would want to offer?
Yeah. I mean, again, my number one tip I would have to say is just be open-minded to newness. I think a lot of people, they get stuck in their own ways of, oh, but you know, I only do photos and I don't like doing reels. Like, yeah, we all feel the same way about Instagram, right? But this is just how it's happening, and yeah. You're either going to be left behind or you're going to expand with them, you're going to grow with them, right? Same thing with TikTok. I mean, I was an early adopter, quote unquote early adopter for my generation, my age group, because a lot of my friends were like, oh, that app's for kids. Like it's ridiculous. And it's, mm-hmm. but for me, I'm always curious, like why is everyone talking about TikTok? There must be something there. So I think my number one tip is don't be stubborn in your ways and be flexible and be open to newness. And I think you will discover kind of what works for you and what doesn't work for you. If TikTok's not for you, then it's not for you. You don't have to do it, right? Mm-hmm. But I think just being open is the best thing. And I think the next tip I would have to say is really just checking out a little bit, because I think with how TikTok is created and also Reels is that it's trend driven, right? So a lot of the times people are just doing the same videos over and over again. And sometimes you watch the same video and you don't even realize that it's not the same person, but it looks like exactly the same video. And trends are important to do, because sometimes those are your most viral videos, but you can't rely on that. You have to find what your reason being is for creating content, mm-hmm. What you're known for outside of those quote unquote trends, because that is kind of your basis of who you are on these platforms and why people will continue to follow you. I get a ton of new followers if one of my trendy videos goes viral, but those are the followers that don't really necessarily stick with me, right?
Right.
The followers that actually love the content that I do. And I've kind of shifted a lot now just with kind of my life situation, which is talking more about being a single mom and the struggles of that, and also what it looks like, more lifestyle driven. That's kind of the core of my content, built in with fashion. Does it get as much engagement as my videos that go completely viral? No, but those viral videos, you get a lot of randoms, and they come and go. So that's my, I guess, next big tip is finding what like your voice is and checking out of kind of what everyone else is doing, because you have to have kind of like a unique POV with your content.
Love those tips, like super tangible. And I completely agree with you. Like, it's easier to sit back and be stubborn and say like, oh, like, you know, the kids are killing it on TikTok and Reels. Like, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, but yeah, we have to evolve. And like, also just like test things out. I tell my friends too, that like are trying to build a following or what have you, like, it can be quick. Like, it doesn't have to be this like 30, 45 second, like editorial, like super edited, as we know with TikTok. Like, it can be quick and just test it out and see how it goes. So
that's what I love about TikTok, is that you want it to be brainless almost. You want it to be easy. Like, of course, you know, we all love like those glossy, high production, like beautiful edited videos, but that's not what TikTok wants. And it almost takes that off of you. So you have to almost unlearn everything that you've learned on Instagram of what you are supposed to do, and kind of go backwards. And that was really hard to adopt. But once I understood that, and you know, my TikTok now is very different, because things used to go viral so, so fast when like 2-3 years ago, but now it's different, right? Sometimes things take off, sometimes they don't. And if you just understand that there's no pressure, you just post whatever you want to post, and if it takes off, it takes off, then all of a sudden your mindset of TikTok becomes a lot more at ease, and you're just posting it because you feel like you want to post something in the moment. And that's what it is. It should be fun. It should be kind of brainless and just in the moment. And those are the videos that usually do the best for me.
Yeah, that's so, so true. Yeah. So tell us about this Selfridges launch coming up. It's very exciting. Tell us like all the details and like, why Selfridges? Why is this important for Fleur?
Oh my goodness, I am so excited. And this is a really big moment for me and the brand Fleur, mainly because when we launched Fleur, we did not expect the demand that it was going to get. And we didn't even know how well received it would be. But as we've been growing Fleur for the past year, just the demand for it to be available internationally, it has been so massive, and to the point where my followers in Europe and in Asia, they're just getting mad at me for even talking about Fleur because they can't get access to it. And so, because as of right now, it's only available in the US at Sephora and on our D2C. But now with Selfridges, first of all, I knew if I was going to go in somewhere in Europe, it had to be Selfridges, because I've been a Selfridges customer from as early as I can remember to buy any luxury piece. I don't know, Selfridges is cool. It's a place that people want to shop. It's so well curated. It has every top designer, but also really cool up and coming design. I think they have an incredible way of just kind of mixing and blending the two of what's the traditional, the classics, and what's modern, right? And when we were shopping around, figuring out where we want to go, my number one spot was Selfridges, and obviously it worked out. And so not only are we opening up in all the Selfridges stores, London, Manchester, I think there's a few other ones outside of London, but we're also launching on their .com, which was so important to me because they have an incredible .com because they have international shipping. And that was the most important thing for me, for everyone around the globe to be able to get access to Fleur. And so now that we are launching, I believe on September 12th, I might be wrong, but we are going to double check on that. Now anyone and everyone, not just being in London, can actually purchase Fleur. And that is so exciting for me. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're very excited for it. We're excited for you to be here. I selfishly am excited. I'm a few blocks from Selfridges. So very exciting for you guys. So congrats on that.
Thank you.
What are a couple other like favorite fragrances from the brand that you want to throw out?
So I would have to say that our top three most known fragrances, obviously Missing Person, Apricot mm-hmm. Privé and Not Your Baby. Okay. Not Your Baby and Apricot Privé were created both by Jerome Epinette, the nose behind Byredo. And it's such a unique scent, both of them. Apricot Privé is, actually, let's start with Not Your Baby. Not Your Baby is a spicy floral. So it's this milky, creamy, it has tonka beans, sandalwood as the base, but there's a certain spiciness, cardamom on top. And so like just juxtaposing those two different type of ingredients, it smells sweet in the beginning. And then once you let it sit, it turns a little spicy. And so we call that, I love naming our fragrances, by the way. It just reminded me of someone sweet and innocent, but then you don't want to mess with them because you know that they got some fire in them, right? Mm-hmm. And this was really inspired by my story of rediscovering myself as this whole human being who didn't necessarily needed a man to define me, right? That's what's called Not Your Baby. In the beginning of our campaign video, some guy is texting me, "Hey baby, are you up?" And I text back, "I'm not your baby." It's that kind of scene from Scarface. I don't know, that iconic scene with Michelle Pfeiffer where she's like, "I'm not your baby. Don't call me your baby." And so it's this kind of sassy, sweet, but also not delicately sweet. It's sexy and it's fiery. And so that's Not Your Baby. And a lot of girls love wearing that out because they feel very sexy in it. So they wear it to go out during the day or in the evening. And Apricot Privé, it's juicy. I call it my summer of fun fragrance, but it's also a very sexy, juicy fragrance. I usually don't like fruity fragrances, but this is a fruity fragrance that has a bit of spice to it. Again, created by Jerome Epinette, so you wouldn't expect anything too sweet or too soft. There's a little bit of fire in that one as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it is, again, a mixture of kind of the ingredients that we did use for Apricot Privé. But Apricot Privé is my personal number one scent that I wear all the time. It's probably our most powerful scent.
Cool. I threw on Floria today.
Oh, Floria.
And like, full disclosure, and people will judge me, but I had my son all day, haven't been able to shower yet, and like threw a little makeup on and skincare and then a little fragrance, and I'm like feeling back in action. But it's very dreamy. I'm sure you can describe it better, but it's like a very dreamy fragrance, I feel like.
Floria was created by Frank Vogel, who was the nose behind Le Labo, and his wife is Tahitian. And so this scent is very personal to him because he was inspired by his wife and he used Tahiti, that white floral. And white florals are usually very polarizing. It's either you love it or you hate it. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, this white floral is so dreamy. And it's so, it's vacation in a bottle, right? It's sunshine in a bottle. And it's perfect for those no shower days because you just feel fresh. You feel like you just got out of, how I describe it is, you know, after you've been out in the sun all day and you've been on vacation, that first shower that you take and you're coming out of the bath, it's just kind of like this really fresh tropical scent. So yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah, absolutely. So coming up on our last few questions, this has been such a fun chat with you, but can you tell us about like, what has life been as a working mama of two, single mom? Like, what are some of the biggest challenges, but also like some of the most rewarding aspects? I feel like I'm always talking about, you know, all of the obstacles with kids, which I get with one on the way and a toddler at home. But yeah, like, tell us what has it been like?
I mean, you're doing it, girl. First of all, you're obviously killing it. You're pregnant. You're recording this podcast. You're running your business. It's not easy, right? As you know. And I am so not afraid to say that I have incredible help. And I am very, very, very fortunate that I have a community of people around me constantly helping me. And I think we need to normalize that. I think a lot of celebrities, influencers, everyone loves their kids. Everyone wants to be present. But the fact is, the majority of us actually have more help than others. And I want to normalize that, because I am not able to do the things that I'm able to do without the support team that I have. My parents live with me, and that's a whole different kind of, different level of help. I have help 24/7. And I think I always like to be very transparent about that. And I think it's because of the support that I have. I am able to do all the businesses. I'm able to travel all the time. And I'm not going to lie, I am co-parenting now, which strangely actually has helped with my travel schedule. Before, I used to travel as much as I do now, but I would feel so guilty traveling because I would leave the family to go do work. But there was something inside of me where I'm like, oh, I'm leaving the family again. Like, the kids are going to miss me. So, and there's so much guilt around that. Right. But now that I'm co-parenting, we try to schedule at least what's in our control, all the travels around my co-parent schedule. So when the girls are not with me, and there's some sort of freedom in that, where now when I'm traveling, I'm like, oh, even if I was at home, I wouldn't be with the girls anyway. So it kind of lifted this kind of weight off my shoulders. Of course, in the beginning, it was incredibly hard because I was so used to seeing them all the time and being with them all the time. But once you adjust and once you realize that this is your new reality, and the kids are incredibly just flexible, and they, you know, they're able to fit into this new situation so much easier than most adults can. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, they bounce right back. It just took this huge weight and guilt off my shoulders. And so I think the mixture of co-parenting mm-hmm. and also having the help that I have, it allows me to do all that I do now. And I'm very, very grateful, and I never take anything for granted. And I get to do it. I think the biggest difference now is, before, it seemed like such a chore, even though, you know, this is my dream career and this is my dream life, everything felt like a chore. Like, oh, I have to record another podcast. Oh, I have to do another shoot. Oh, I have to get on another plane. But post my separation, I realized how much I was taking for granted. And now I look at every single opportunity, like even just talking to you and getting to meet you in London, I get to do that. Like, what a treat, right? To be able to connect with someone all the way across the world and talk about something that I love so much, that is such a treat. And so I think it's also mindset, really, is the mindset on how you look at your current situation allows me to feel inspired every single morning waking up. Like, you just never know who you're going to bump into, who you're going to talk to, the next opportunity that's going to come around. I wake up so, so excited every single day now. So yeah.
Thank you for sharing all of that. It's like, it's a very refreshing perspective. And I think a lot of women are going to be able to relate to that. And right, everybody is, as a mother, as a business person, as a founder, everyone's situation with kids is totally different and totally unique. And it doesn't make it harder or easier than the other. And it's just, yeah, it's just talking more about it and sharing snippets. Like, that's where I get kind of like peace of mind. And like, if I'm feeling really stressed, like, it's connecting with other women about it. So
yeah, absolutely. I have a podcast as well called Being Bupa, which we need to get you on. And my co-host is my best friend. Her name is Sarah Son, but she's actually a stay-at-home mom. Like, her first career, not her first, but her career now is being my co-host. And she was literally a full-time stay-at-home mom. And it's really interesting. And just to hear her perspective on things, because I'm a full-time working mom. She is a stay-at-home mom. And it's very, very different. But at the end of the day, you realize that we actually have so much more in common, which is the well-being of our children and just all around just happiness for ourselves, right? And so if you kind of take away all the differences of how people raise their kids or how families look like, you realize that we're more similar than not. Like, we all want the same things for our kids and our families. And then all that judgment goes out the window. You're just like, you do what works for you. You have help. You don't have help. You're a stay-at-home mom. You're a full-time working mom. Props to you, you know, and that is something we have to normalize. We being a mother, being a working mother, as hard as it is, I think we just all need to support one another and just help each other however we can, because we're really all in this together and we're all going through the same struggles.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess on a lighter note, like when you're not traveling, because you're obviously traveling the world, your photos are insane from all the places that you're here, there, you're everywhere. But on a typical day in LA, you're home, you're working, what does that day kind of look like?
So we tried to create a schedule, like what a schedule looks like when I am at home, which is usually every other week. Because I do run three different companies, one is called Boomo, which is bringing childcare to the workplace so parents can have their children taken care of on demand so they can continue to work after post-kid and going back to the workplace. And then also I have Fleur, and then I have my production company, Sync. And so between those three different kind of hats and businesses, we realized that the most effective way for me to be able to focus and get as much done in a given day is focusing on one thing at a time instead of trying to fill up my schedule with a bunch of everything. Mm-hmm. So on Mondays, I'm just giving an example. Mondays, for instance, it's a Boomo day. And so everything from my team at Boomo that needs me, from meetings to content approval to creating content, investor meetings, all of that has to go on Mondays. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday is Fleur. I am always at the Fleur office on Tuesdays. People just know that. So my team knows mm-hmm. that if they need something from me that has nothing to do with Fleur, they probably won't get it on mm-hmm. Tuesday. Because we put so much boundaries and red tape around what I am able to do on those days. Of course, things change, events happen, sponsorships, partnerships, all these things come into play and there is room for flexibility, but we try to create some sort of schedule and sanity around this chaos. Wednesday is for all things sponsorships, partnerships, so any content that I have to create happens on those days. If Fleur needs something on Wednesday, they probably won't get it until the following week. And then obviously Thursday and Fridays, we do leave room for flexibility. So mm-hmm. if there are things that need to be addressed or need to be finished, those are usually the days that happen. And obviously on the weekends, I just try not to work, especially if I'm at home, which means that I'm usually with the kids. So
yeah, good. Need that time off, girl. It's a lot going on.
Yeah. Well, we all time off, right? And that's also another thing that I do regularly is at least once a month, I try to check mm-hmm. out. Like I don't go on social media. Even if it's just for like 48 hours mm-hmm. and I just check out, I just like put my phone away or put on airplane mode and not connect to Wi-Fi and just leave it there, because it allows me to not just recharge my battery, but that's actually how I get inspired a lot. It's just living life. Being able to meet other people, just going out without having to take photos. You know, it's funny because I just got back from vacation, and although I did take some photos, I had like so many cute outfits and I literally have like no photos. I have one photo, I think. And it just allows you to appreciate just creating an outfit just to enjoy the moment, not necessarily just for the photo. I think we've all gotten into mm-hmm. the habit of doing things for the gram, for a cute photo. And it kind of takes you out of the now. And not saying that I don't do this, because that's kind of how I created my career, is taking photos of everything that I'm wearing, that I'm eating, that I'm doing. But then I think once in a while, it's good to break that habit. And I did that on this past kind of vacation. And it was really, really nice. Like, I just got up to dress up because I wanted to do it for me, met some friends, hung out with them, didn't really photograph or record anything. And it just allows you to be in the moment. And I come back so inspired and recharged. And that's usually when I have my next best idea, is when I'm able to unplug.
Totally. I think it's so healthy. We have to do it. So yeah. I think it's great. As a last question, like what's a last word of advice, a piece of wisdom, anything that you want to leave us with today?
There's a few things, but I think my number one, especially with kind of where I'm at in my life with being single now, and I'm 37, I have two kids. I never expected my life to turn out this way. I always had this idea of how my life would be. I have always been such a planner, not a perfectionist, but a planner. Like I always knew where I was going to be the next year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. I had it all mapped out. And just this past 2 years, it all kind of flew out the window, right? Like all that planning, it doesn't exist anymore, right? Because my life took a total curveball that I was not expecting. And so I guess there's two takeaways from this. One is that it's okay to plan, but leave room for flexibility. If it doesn't go according to your plan, that's okay, you know, and it's never, ever too late. You know, because I am in my late 30s, there's so much stigma, especially in the Asian culture. I'm Korean American, but there's so much stigma around the Asian culture that, oh, if you're not married by your late 20s, like no one's going to want you. Or if you don't have kids by late 20s or early 30s, like you're going to be too old to have kids. None of that is true. None of that is true. And this is something that I've had to really have deep conversations with my parents because they live with me in LA now. And they had their kind of own reckoning too, realizing that the timeline that they put on me kind of messed me up. And not that they're bad people, they're incredible humans, but that's what they were taught that they thought was right. But they realized that there really is no such thing as a timeline. So I think that's my next kind of tip, is that the timelines that we all put on ourselves of making X amount of dollars mm-hmm. by this date or this age, or being married or engaged by this age, or I don't know, like all of those need to go out the window, because you're, as long as you're present and you're in the moment and you're trying your best and you're living life and you're happy and you're fulfilled and you're doing those things, you are naturally going to create the life that you want. And these timelines only put added pressure on that might not even go according to your plan anyways. And so I think those are my two kind of life tips, is just obviously plan, but leave room for flexibility. And then the second is just the timelines need to go.
Yeah.
We're all on our own journey. We all have our own unique timeline. And that's exciting, you know, yeah. You got to embrace it.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love that advice. Thank you so much. And I mean, you really are an inspiration. So thank you so much for just sharing all of this with us today. Before you go, like what's next? We know the Selfridges launch is coming up. Is there anything else that you want to share with us before you go today?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Selfridges launch is either already here once the podcast is up or is coming. And so if you guys are interested in that, you guys can either go to your local Selfridges or go to selfridges.com. We have everything from the lotions, the shower gels, the fragrances. It's such an amazing, amazing just kind of array of product that they have. There's more product that we are coming out with for holiday, which I can't really say, but Selfridges will also have those as well, which I'm very, very excited about. But yeah, I mean, I think that's really it. My main focus right now is just making sure that the Selfridges launch is successful, which I'm sure it will be, and just spending more time in London. It's one of my favorite cities in the world. Maybe seeing you again.
Yes, can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, that's really my main focus right now. And just, oh, I guess that my main kind of purpose has changed now, which obviously has always been like fashion and beauty, and that's been the core of my content, but really just educating and empowering this new generation, this young generation of women about you know, the things that they need to know that a lot of us didn't know going into kind of adulting life, which is marriage and the amount of things that I learned about finances during divorce and all of that. Like, I just feel so well equipped now, and this information that I didn't know. So really helping the next generation feel empowered to take charge of their own financial life, their own freedom. You know, that's something that we've been trying to figure out how we could tell more of that storyline to more women out there. So yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, all sounds perfect. Where can everybody find you, keep up with you, find Fleur?
Everyone can find me on Instagram and TikTok, which is at Chriselle Lim. Fleur is at Fleur on Instagram, P-H-L-U-R. You could go to the website, fleur.com. Yeah, that's about it. Oh, and we also have a podcast as well. So if you are a parent and you're looking for some, you know, and it's not just for parents, but it is called Being Boomer, which is Korean for parent. It's an amazing parenting podcast where we talk about so many things unfiltered that most people don't talk about. So yeah.
Perfect. We'll link everything in the show notes. And Chriselle, thank you again so much. We loved having you on today. So thank you.
Thank you so much. This was such a pleasure. So much fun.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much for listening. And if you're watching, if you found any value from this episode, please share it with a friend. Tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast and at Monday_Network. We always love to hear your feedback, and we will catch you next time.